So to go back to Padmasambhava, I'm not going to go into great descriptions because I'm sure Padmasambhava is very familiar to everybody here. Probably there are quite a lot of people here who are devotees of Padmasambhava, I would imagine. But just wanted to say that he felt very present on this last retreat that we've just been on, in the ordination retreat. I just found myself again and again and again chanting the Padmasambhava mantra. And I have no particularly strong connection with Padmasambhava as such. But every day I'd find myself just chanting the mantra, just chanting the mantra. It was like he was so present. And then I suddenly realised actually what it was Bhante who was present. And somehow Bhante and Padmasambhava had become very identified or connected for me. Being in that situation on a retreat where I was about to ordain people for the first time, because I realised very early on the whole thing about becoming a private preceptor that I'm not up to being a private preceptor, and that I can only do it in a way if I'm doing it because of the trust put in me by Bhante and by the public preceptors. And in a way all I'm doing is acting as a channel, because I'm very close to Bhante and I feel that I can do that, I can be that, I can be that to the people who I've ordained. I can help them to have a channel through me to something much more transcendental than I am. And that felt very important to kind of feel that. And it felt like on this retreat that really opened up for me, and I just felt so much Bhante's presence and so grateful to Bhante, really. And funnily enough, I came across in Subhuti's book on Sangharakshita, Bringing Buddhism to the West, where he talks about when Bhante first came across a Padmasambhava Tanka or Padmasambhava Rupa. And there is a very strong sense of Bhante talking about coming home. He sees Padmasambhava and something in him resonates with that. It really made me feel like, in a way, we're so lucky with Bhante, you know. He really can give us an opening into something Padmasambhava-like, into something transcendental. You know, to talk about work as a tantric guru is not just a nice saying. It's not just the nice way of thinking, my work's boring, tiring, and, you know, exhausting, but it's good because it's transforming me. Actually, we have access to something through Bhante which is really Padmasambhava-like, and we can actually take that and do something with it. So Padmasambhava, very much a transformation of energies, we know that, don't we? I don't know whether everybody knows the birth story of Padmasambhava. So just very briefly, Amitabha, the Buddha of love, is meditating. He's in a deep, deep meditation, and from his tongue, a ray of pure, brilliant red light shines forth. And this ray of red light falls to the centre of a lake, Lake Dhanakosha. And an island arises in this lake, an island covered in golden grass, with three springs of clear turquoise water. And from these springs of water, in the middle of this golden island, a lotus springs forth. And as the lotus springs forth, a dorje, a vajra, falls from Amitabha's heart into the centre of the lotus. And when the lotus opens, a young boy of 8 years old is sitting within the lotus, holding a vajra and holding an initiation vase. Fascinating. First of all, it comes from Amitabha. So the transformation of Padmasambhava comes from love. The frown in Padmasambhava's face is a frown of love. He really wants to know what's happening. He really wants to help, and he wants to get it right. So he's really concentrating. It's a frown of wrathful concentration. It comes from Amitabha's tongue. I think that's fascinating. It's the expression of something. It's communication. So Padmasambhava's transformation comes from communication. It comes from working together. It comes from cooperation. It comes from co-ops. It's light. The elements are present. Everything's there. Everything's there in Padmasambhava's birth. And he's born from a lotus. And we know that Padmasambhava took Buddhism to Tibet. And we know that he took it there after Shantarakshita had tried to take it there. But he came behind Shantarakshita. And at the end of the day, when Buddhism is taking place, because Padmasambhava has been able to tame the demons and put them to work in the service of the Dharma, he then turns to Shantarakshita and he thanks him. There's mutual appreciation between these two faculties. Padmasambhava didn't do it on his own either. He did it alongside and after Shantarakshita. So if Shantarakshita is that cognitive faculty. Because what he tried to do was take Buddhism, Dharma, in terms of teachings, in terms of lists, and in terms of, well, the things like conditioned co-production, the very basis of the Dharma. But it wasn't enough until the form of Padmasambhava came. It wasn't enough until the emotional faculty, the feeling faculty, was fully involved. And through the marriage, if you like, of these two faculties, the cognitive faculty and the feeling faculty, the volitional faculty came into birth. So energy at its most abundant arose through this meeting of the other two faculties. Head and heart came together. And Bhante tells us that it's clearly not enough to study the Dharma, to listen to lectures and to read books. We must plumb the depths. We must meditate, chant, puja, engage in ritual. We need to find our own ways, because one person's ritual is another person's boring night out. We need to find ways that touch our hearts and that open that faculty so that it's real. It's not good enough just to go and sit in a puja and think, oh, I'm a Buddhist, I've got to do a puja. You know, if actually, you know, your mind's somewhere completely different, we need to find our own ways of entering that world of myth and magic, that world that opens up our feeling faculty and puts it at the service of our volition. The dakinis, we need to meet our own dakinis. We need to find ways of being full-blooded. When Bhante gave this talk at the LBC, years ago Bhante gave a talk at the LBC on Padmasambhava, you were probably there, Maharishi was probably there as well, yeah? And he really, I mean, I can't remember exactly what he talked about. I remember him talking about, what do you call them? You know those things that Padmasambhava left lying about? It's thermosphere. I can't think of thermosphere. Anyway, he talked about that, I do remember that, but it was like, something happened. It was absolutely magical, that talk. It was a Padmasambhava festival. And I think for some reason, Bhante gave a talk which he hadn't been planning to give or something. So vaguely remember that he just started to talk. He talked forever. He talked for about 2.5 hours. But Padmasambhava was just so present. And at the end, we chanted the Padmasambhava mantra. And I've never heard the Padmasambhava mantra like that. It was amazing. It really was quite something. So I think in that occasion, Padmasambhava was present, the dakinis were present, there was certainly energy. You could have fueled a nuclear sub with the energy that was in the room. Fortunately, it was going towards the good. So Padmasambhava, that kind of energy, transformation, communication, cooperation, head and heart together in service of our volition.